Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Adrian Puren, good morning. So we were interested because last night the numbers came down quite dramatically, 5,575. But we do know as well that a Monday and a Tuesday, in fact, we do see lower numbers. But what is the indication? How are we doing?
Overall, I think the country has declined in terms of the overall numbers of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. But of course, as you know, we have to look at that by province. And so I think the province that is currently having the highest numbers, at least, as well as hospitalizations, is certainly the Western Cape. I think initially we thought there would be a slowing of the trajectory, but I do notice that there's a sharp increase again. So we just need to keep a watch on that. Whereas I think Gauteng overall, I think the declines are there in terms of both the numbers of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Similarly, when you look at KwaZulu-Natal, although I think it was probably about a week ago or more when we did notice a decline, but of course that was because of the disruptions that occurred. So we're certainly seeing an increase in cases, but it's not as sharp, and I think that probably was what is to be expected. Whereas I think the Northern Cape, I think as well, I think seems to be on an upward trajectory still, as well as the Free State. It's just ongoing transmission in those particular provinces. Whereas I think Limpopo and Mpumalanga, there certainly is evidence of decline. So yes, so overall the picture is declining numbers. But again, I think you just need to be aware of what's happening in each particular province.
And interesting, because I'm just looking at the vaccination figures. I see Limpopo is leading with 10.8% of people vaccinated. That's at least that's good news that they're over 10% there now.
Yes, it is important, you know, that, as you know, it will certainly may not contribute in a significant way. Perhaps it will, but it's important that those vaccine numbers certainly continue to rise, because I guess we haven't reached that sort of community immunity levels yet. And as you can see, the positivity rates are still fairly substantial overall in many of the provinces. So we're not testing as much as we should be to really get a good sense of what's actually happening in terms of the numbers. So really critical that we continue the vaccine campaigns. Yes.
If we look at the places like the Eastern Cape where, and I think it was anecdotal that we were reading at some point, certainly after the second wave, I think it was, that so many people had suffered from COVID, had been positive. They've got an over 9% vaccination rate. Does that mean with that they could be heading towards a herd immunity, or are we still so far away from that?
It's difficult to tell. I think my sense would be that we're still a way off in terms of an immunity that will really decrease continued transmission. And I think it depends when we look at the numbers. Again, you need to look at the geographic areas where this is occurring. So there may well be areas where there are substantial numbers of cases, and therefore the prevalence. But again, I think the other concern, not concern necessarily, but the other consideration is the how sustained that immunity is going to be. In other words, so we have, as you know, we've seen the different variants arising in different areas. Will those really be protective? Those are the types of questions that one will have to ask, even though you may have a 30 or 40% prevalence. You know, what is the rates of reinfections in those particular communities? And even with the vaccine, for example, we're certainly going to have reinfections to an extent. But at least will we see a decrease in the hospitalizations and death? And I think that's going to really be the telling feature of the power of these particular vaccines.
Anecdotally, we're already seeing that. The doctors that I speak to are saying that people that are coming into hospital, they're not really seeing anybody that ill who has, I mean, you might have the odd case of somebody who has been vaccinated, but they still seem to get in and out fairly quickly. They are already starting to see that the cases that they're seeing are people who haven't been vaccinated. Do we have data on that yet, or is it too early to tell?
I'm hoping that we will have data soon, because I think that's just really critical for us to actually because I, you know, you, when you look at, the United States, the UK, and to an extent in Israel as well, you look at the, and what they do there is actually to plot that. In other words, looking at the numbers that are coming into hospital with either serious illness or requiring hospital admission and ICU requirements, and plot the two. And you can see a very distinct curve between those individuals who have not been vaccinated versus those that, that have been vaccinated. But of course, the more, scientific approach is really to look at this so-called vaccine efficacy to really give us a good idea as to how effective these vaccines are. So they are, as I think I may have mentioned earlier, planned studies in South Africa to get a good sense of how efficacious or how effective, sorry, these vaccines are.
And your thoughts on the Pfizer versus Johnson & Johnson versus AstraZeneca, where are we with that?
Those, I think, are still ongoing. I know that there are discussions again, but I think I just want us to be cautious as to what these vaccines were meant to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's not a matter of saying, oh, because we're seeing higher rates of reinfection with Johnson & Johnson, therefore it's not as effective. I think that's not appropriate. I think we need to look at what levels of protection it does still provide in this debate or consideration around, for example, adding so-called boosters, for example. I think you may have seen some of those types of discussions. That includes even with Pfizer, they're talking about adding a third dose.
Yeah, I think in Israel they've already started that third dose for over 60s.
Absolutely, as well as also the so-called mix and match, adding a booster to the Johnson & Johnson using a Pfizer type approach. So I think those are still early days in terms of consideration, and I think let's see what comes out of that. But I think it should not add to our vaccine hesitancy. I think the vaccines are there. They're achieving what they're set out to do. So I think we should still encourage people to be vaccinated and to accept whatever vaccine there is available. I think that's certainly is very important.
Are we expecting the 80-20 approach to this? In other words, that we'll get 80% of the people done with relative ease before we start fighting with the 20% to convince them to get vaccinated?
Yes, it's probably that type of, I think there's a technical term for the 80-20 ratio. But yes, I think that that's important. And I think even those people who are vaccinated, I think we just need to encourage them, if they've had their initial dose as well, to have that second dose. We know that the effectiveness against the Delta variant at least requires at least the two doses. So you're right, it's a matter of saying, well, we're going to have a substantial group, we hope, that will accept the vaccine, but it's really trying to convince and provide the good scientific evidence to those who still may have a hesitation around the access to vaccines. But that may be also one of the bigger problems is, of course, that, you know, we're talking about the urban areas where access is not a major problem, whereas, you know, if you look at communities outside of Johannesburg, you know, what is their access? Are we making it easier for people to access vaccines?
Right, and in that case, we'd obviously look as well for the Johnson & Johnson because it's only one shot and then at least that's done.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Is vaccine hesitancy traditionally a diminishing thing? And the reason I ask the question is because I have noticed that some people that I've had a conversation with who were quite nervous in the beginning, now looking around saying, well, everybody else seems to be getting it and it's fine, so they just go ahead and get it.
Yes, I think that there is an element of that, in fact, that people may have fears or considerations, but in fact, when the reality comes to the fore, that they will take the vaccine. But I think there will be a certain group of individuals, and we saw that with the, and we do see that with the measles vaccination as well, is that there are groups of people that definitely will not vaccinate for whatever reasons they have, whether it be cultural, religious, or based on incorrect information, just will not vaccinate. So I think we're going to have that, those groups of people, and we just need to see how we can manage that in terms of outcomes. But it's a critical consideration.
And that's where we leave it. Professor Adrian Puren, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, talking to us about the decrease in COVID-19.